These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we're turning to John chapter 15, to that great commandment, love ye one another. We call this the 11th commandment, and it's a specific one, and it is the one the Lord Jesus has given us. How are we doing about that? Are we truly loving one another as Christians? Some ways it's surprising that we need this commandment at all. There ought to be an automatic desire in our hearts to love the people of God and the children of God. The sad thing is that there is enough of the flesh in any of us to see the warts, the failings, the inconsistencies, and sometimes the downright ugliness of one another. And we are called to love all of God's people, for their soul's sake, for their sanctification's sake, that they be brought into glory in the power and purpose of God. And that's ministry. That's what it's at. We're not called to minister to perfect people or to totally Christ-like people. There are many that need to be guided, encouraged, and indeed to be corrected, that they might also love God's people. And so there are commands and instructions given to us in the New Testament that we endeavor to keep the unity of the brethren or the church. And this is our task. And that needs, it requires great grace. And it requires a reminder from time to time that we are to love one another in that agape love, that sacrificial love, so that we minister to their hearts. May the Lord bless you today as you turn with us to this message from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale, FPC, on the 11th commandment.
And this is the third time in this discourse, and I have emphasized already that this is one discourse all the way from chapter 13 to the end of 17, that all of this is really one talk that the Lord is having with his disciples, and yet three times he comes up with this, what we now call the 11th commandment. The first time is in chapter 13 and verse 34, and he says, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another." And then here's the challenge. It's not only just to love each other a little bit. It's not just to put a cheesy smile on. It is, "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And then in chapter 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." And again, he emphasizes, "As," in the same way, in the same manner, same degree if possible, "as I have loved you." And then a third time, verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And then down to verse 17, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." And for those who are Bible students and get into different words, this is the agape love. It is that sacrificial love, the same love that drew salvation's plan, and where our Lord Jesus went to the cross and made himself a sacrifice. It's love to the degree that it hurts. It costs us to extend that kind of love to our fellow believers. Now, this is going to be very searching of heart today, because I think, and I conclude myself in this, if there is anywhere that we feel, it's here. And I think that's the reason why three times in the same discussion time, the Lord emphasized this over and over. If we claim to be a branch in the vine, that we are united to the Lord Jesus in heart, in spirit, that we have his life flowing into our lives, then this ought to be the natural outcome, that we will love the other branches, especially when we encourage them to bear fruit. When we see a branch that's bearing fruit and bringing glory to the Father, that ought to rejoice us. And we want to be in that and encouraging that and working together on that. Now, the mysterious and abounding love of between the Father and the Son is promised to each and every believer. Let's read verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Now, I could never preach that fully, because number one, I don't understand it fully. You just dwell on it for a moment. The love that was between the Father and the Son, it's eternal, it's pure, it's divine. It's the love of God the Father for God the Son. And the Lord says, "That same love I give unto you." And then he says, "Continue ye in my love." Abide in it. Don't let it fade. Don't miss it. Don't let your Christian profession and life decline to some low-level, murky idea of Christianity. Get a hold of and enjoy this supernatural love flowing into your life. Now, the ultimate expression of this love, you'll find in verse 13, and it's Calvary love. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And of course, our minds go immediately to our Lord's death on. And that's what stirs our hearts. That's what stirs within us a deep appreciation for our Lord Jesus. He loved me so much to the extent that he was willing to suffer and die upon that cross. And we are Calvary Christian. If we are saved by that sacrificial death of the Lord, then we're called to live a sacrificial life. We are now to have the life of the Lord, that love flowing from him into us and through us to those that need the love of the Lord Jesus. And so there is here this triple commandment in the one talk. Now, why? And here's the context of this Christian love. Persecution is coming. The Lord did not leave the disciples with rosy, spectacled ideas of what the Christian life was going to be. It was going to be exceedingly hard. And when you read the latter part of this chapter and get on down, verse 18 to the very end, it talks about the world shall hate you. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before. Now, if you're a Christian and you have told others about the Lord Jesus and what he has done for you, I don't need to tell you about the reproach that that brings. There is in all mankind the serpent spirit, the poison of the devil, that snaps against, well, thinking of snakes, they bite, they seethe, and they open their fangs. There's a hostility to the name of Jesus built into the human heart. That is, the fallen Adamic heart of man resists the name of Jesus. And in our world, there is this rejection of the Son of God and all that the Lord Jesus stands for. This world is no friend of grace. Now, in verse 19, he explains, if ye were of the world would love his own. Oh, the ungodly fit in so well. The jokes they tell, the ideas they have, the pranks they get up to, the lives of debauchery that they live, it doesn't rebuke anyone, it doesn't convict anyone, it doesn't shine the light to expose anyone. Those that are living for the world, they're in their own place, it's their environment. It's like fish in the water, it's like birds in the air, it's the place that is so agreeable. But when you're a Christian, you're not of the world anymore. You don't talk the way they talk. You don't walk the way they walk. You don't go to the places they want to go. You've got a new mind and a new heart and new desires, and the world feels exposed and hurt and offended by you. And therefore, the history of Christianity from the first century and will be to the end of the world, whether it's Roman emperors, churches that persecute false religions, or the atheistic, the agenda of politicians or whatever, there is an ungodly drive to squash the Christian. And you're going to feel the pressure of that. You're going to feel the hurt of that. Now, when you get into chapter 16, 1, the Lord Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. In other words, he's preparing them. He's building them up to understand that this is not strange. This is not unique to you. And that's how the devil whispers. You know, how can you be a Christian if this is happening to you? How can you be right with God and a loving heavenly Father allow your very best friend to turn his or her back upon you? And the Lord warned that our enemies will not only come from without, but from within. These even of our household, mother, father, brother, sister, and children. They will be offended. They will be hostile to us because of our witness for the Lord Jesus. And that's the context in which the Lord opens up this very important requirement or commandment, that we are to love one another. And so, the more we are living as branches in the vine, with the love of the Lord flowing into us, the more real and the more powerful this Christian love is manifested in the life of the Lord's people. The more godly, the more prayerful, the more Christ-like you and I are, the more of that love ought to be expected, to the point that this now becomes the benchmark by which people measure our Christian profession. So shall ye be known as my disciples when ye love one another. And that's why it's so terrible when churches fall out and they have a dispute and they bicker with one another and it spills out into the community and it's just so such a horrible testimony, because Christians ought to be known by the love of Christ flowing in them. And that brings me to the opportunity of our Christian love. It brings many opportunities. And that's really the substance of our message here today. I want to look at the opportunities. Firstly, there's the opportunity for friendship. Look at verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, this, of course, is the friendship of the Savior. And so if you really want to live a life close to the Lord and enjoy more of His love in your life, this is what we must do. This is now an opportunity to be like John himself, who was the beloved disciple and was known amongst the disciples as the favored, beloved disciple. And he enjoyed a friendship with the Savior that was very, very special. And this is our opportunity. Because if we're living a life of bitterness and discouraging to God's own people, and can we expect the Lord's love to flow into our hearts and into our lives? It's a bit like children at home. Now, every child wants the love of their father and mother. Every child wants to be the favored, have the smile, the blessing of parent. And in this case, for this illustration, of your father. But if you're bickering with your brothers and sisters, and if you're hurting them constantly and disobedient, you're not going to enjoy the full orbed joy and love of your father. You're going to come under his correction. You're going to come under his rebuke every time that you disobey. And likewise, in the church of the Lord Jesus, among fellow Christians, every time we hurt a brother, a sister, offend, are abrupt, cause confusion, bring them down a peg, every time we work for that, how can we now have the sweet friendship of the Lord in our own? Rather, we must work hard. We must obey this commandment to love one another. Now, to do that, I want to give you two principles. One is initiate and irrigate. If you can remember those two words, you will be a good, obedient lover of the brethren and sisters. You are to initiate. He that will have friends must show himself friendly. That's initiate. You're the one that's to make that first move. And in normal cases, shake the hand, take them by the elbow and say, glad to see you, enjoy your fellowship, and say that encouraging word that initiates the friendship. And so don't be a loner, don't be a hermit, but to obey this commandment, initiate. And then irrigate. You got to water it. You got to be consistent. You can't be all over someone today and turn your back upon them next Sunday. That doesn't work. You gotta be that consistent friend and that helper to your fellow believers in the Lord Jesus. And so this becomes our opportunity for friendship. The world will turn its back on you. The world will mock the Christian. And in this present Canadian society, we have a very hostile attitude to the Christian, the bright Christian, the open-faced Christian. You will feel the hurt of the world. But when you come amongst the church and the people of God, you ought to feel the warmth, the blessed fellowship of God's people. Now, that's your opportunity for friendship. There's also an opportunity for testimony. No matter what else you do as a Christian, without love, you fail. You're a failure if you do not truly express Christian love. Just think of 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of charity or love. And no matter what we do, even though I give my body to be burned and give away everything I have to the poor, if I have not charity, I am. No matter what other talents I bring to the service of God's people, even though I have the tongue of angels, and even though I have great gifts, if I have not charity, I am nothing. So this now is our opportunity for testimony. And if we want our testimony to shine, if we want our words of Christian profession to be backed up with testimony of life, this is the way to do it. You have an opportunity to demonstrate the love of the Lord Jesus to your fellow believers. Now, without a lot of preaching on this today, why don't we just go to the Bible, to what I think is really the star chapter in the Bible on this need for testimony through our love in the Christian life. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and begin to read at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, now, it's John, isn't it? It's John, the beloved disciple. And he himself is addressing fellow Christians, and he's calling them beloved. That's endearing. He's a winning person. He's a magnet. He's not driving people away. He's seeking to win them, even in this letter that he's writing. And in the middle of it, he's saying beloved. And you'll notice he started with that in chapter 4, 1, beloved. And now again, he comes down to verse 7, beloved. It's a bit like a husband and wife, and when you've got something hard to say, you say, dear, you know that I love you, but, and then you come in with what you have to say. And that's sort of what John is doing. He's expressing and reconfirming his love for these readers, that they take this on board, beloved. And he includes himself here. He doesn't say, this is something for you to do, you to work on. No, he says, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See how it's your testimony here? See how it is the genuineness of your profession? And he goes on in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know what it's like when you meet a son? Maybe you're in a public place and you meet a son and he says, well, you don't know me, but you know my dad, right? And yes, you know your dad. You went to school with him. You grew up with him. You know him very well. You know him inside out. You know what kind of person he is. And here now is the son. And your expectation is that the son is going to be like the father. It's not always true, of course, but that's the expectation. And if it turns out to be a horrible person, you would say, well, he's no real son of him. He might have his genes, but he doesn't have his nature. And if we are professing that God is our Father, then we ought to so love, because God is love.
Grace is a charming sound, harmonious to thee.
Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me.
Thank you for being a part of the program here today as we let the Bible speak on what we call the 11th commandment. We'll continue with that tomorrow. That'll be part two of the message. And it is my desire to be a pastor, a helper, and an encourager. And I hope that I do display that love of the Lord for God's people. I do want to be an encourager. I want to be a helper to those that are striving and seeking to live for the Lord. And my burden is that this ministry, day by day, will be a great help to you to strengthen your faith, to guide you in the way, and that you will know power in your soul to walk with the Lord and to obey His word. And this comes down to a matter of obedience, so that we do not offend our brethren, and that we work for the healing of their hurt. So let me ask you, what have you done today to heal a brother or sister's hurts? Perhaps you could give some little message of encouragement. A phone call, a note, even just a gesture, it might lift their day. Just by saying, I appreciate you being here, or I'm thankful for your life and testimony, and I see what you're going through, and I pray for you. Those short little comments can make all the difference to a soul that is hurting. And so begin today to be an encourager, a true lover of the brethren. Now, in real practical terms, of course, Christians ought to be in a biblical church where they can encourage the preaching of the word. They can encourage those that are striving to learn the great truths of God, and where they are praying to be useful in His kingdom. And when you are in the midst of that, your life, your testimony shines, and your prayers, your spirit of praise, your attitude will become a wonderful encouragement to pastor, elder, and all the people of God. And I trust that today you will take to heart this 11th commandment to love your brethren. May we be given grace to do that today. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.